Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, August 12, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Bonds in Argentina tumble after a landslide election loss for President Macri.
China holds off on stimulus as the trade war risks turning into a currency war.
Italian stocks and bonds gain as Matteo Salvini begins a push for new elections.
Flights have been canceled in Hong Kong after another weekend of violent protests. Plus, an autopsy has been performed on financier Jeffrey Epstein. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets' eight-game winning streak came to an end with a loss to Washington. Yankees a 1-0 win at Toronto.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures and global stocks are heading lower as we begin a new week. It's coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 14 points, almost a half percent. Dow futures down 126. NASDAQ futures down 36 points. The DAX in Germany, little change to higher, while the CAC in Paris is down 0.3%. The FTSE in London down 0.25%. The Nikkei in Japan was closed for the day. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong closed down 0.4%. The 10-year is up 16/32, the yield 1.68%, 2-year treasuries 1.59%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is down 1.2%, down 66 cents, $53.84 a barrel. COMEX gold up a half percent, up $7.40 at $15.1580 an ounce. The euro 1.1184 against the dollar, and the yen 105.18. John.
Yeah, Nathan, let's begin with the latest on the trade war. Chinese authorities are holding back for major stimulus, keeping options open as the impasse risks turning into a currency war. For the third straight day, Beijing said its daily fixing for the yuan stronger than estimates. At the same time, the International Monetary Fund is calling on China to keep its exchange rate flexible. More from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
The IMF report seems to support the Chinese position, and it's been played up very heavily in state media here over the last few days. So that's the Chinese stance on it. The IMF have come out with a report that they see as broadly supportive. What we saw in terms of the fixing, which is a slightly stronger fixing than the markets had expected today, building the case that China's looking to kind of gradually depreciate the currency. No big shocks, because, of course, they don't want to see capital flight and they don't want to see any broader risks to the financial markets.
This all comes after President Trump said trade talks with China planned for September could be called off, and that he's, quote, not ready to make a deal.
Now, stocks in China are higher while the yen is stronger as investors start the week on a cautious note. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with more on the trading day in Asia. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan. The yuan edged higher along with equities on the Chinese mainland as the PBOC set the currency's reference rate weaker for an eighth session. Stocks in Hong Kong fluctuated and Cathay Pacific shares fell the most in 3 years to a decade low as protests in the city entered a 10th week. Australian stocks fell along with iron ore futures, with mining players and gold stocks under pressure. And the Kiwi paired earlier gains as the country's Treasury Department identified New Zealand could weather negative interest rates to the tune of -0.35% in a crisis. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. It could be a rough day for traders in Argentina. The country's euro bonds are tumbling after President Mauricio Macri lost a key primary vote in a landslide. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Justin Carrigan.
The opposition candidate, Alberto Fernandez, has completely taken the pollsters and potentially the markets by surprise by winning a much greater than expected margin in this primary election, such that if this were reflected in the October 27 election, then he would automatically become president and there would be no need for a runoff.
That decisive victory has investors worried Argentina could return to policies that include currency and capital controls, as opposed to Macri's more market-friendly positions. Bloomberg's Garfield Reynolds has details.
There was an expectation that Macri would do significantly better, not that he would win the primary, but that he would do well enough to be in a position to challenge strongly at the October election. That's been completely blown away. And so we're seeing concern about what will happen once Argentinian assets start trading. We have some commentators out there who are saying once the Argentinian peso begins trading, it could drop as much as 25%.
And the peso begins trading in the U.S. session after finishing last week at 45.31 per dollar.
Now, bonds in Italy are gaining after Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini pulled the plug on the coalition government and called for a swift election. And now he's on the campaign trail in southern Italy. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo is there.
Salvini is in full campaign mode. He wants to present himself as a man of the people. Of course, he wants this election to take place quickly. I spoke to him at the beach. He told me hopefully we get an election in October. And then he also said investors have nothing to worry from a Salvini government. There is no secret plan to leave the euro. We are not going to leave the euro.
An exit from Europe or the euro is out of the question and not being discussed. What we are discussing about, find wrong, and want to change, are rules on immigration and taxes. There is absolutely no plan to exit Europe or the euro.
Matteo Salvini doubled down on this idea that he wants to cut taxes for everyone, get tough on migration, no leaving the euro, however. And it's interesting he's decided to come here to the south of Italy because this is an area where the Northern League, as it was formerly known, would not do well in the elections. But of course, Salvini is looking to change that and actually get more votes. He is polling right now at 40%.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reports Salvini will spend the rest of the month stumping for votes, and the prospect of fresh elections in Italy is weighing on the euro. It's currently down a tenth percent against the dollar at 1.1186.
On the corporate front, Saudi Aramco is reporting first-half results for the first time. The state-owned oil company posted a 12% decline in profit as crude prices fell and costs increased. Aramco is also continuing its push into Asian oil refining, announcing an agreement to buy a 20% stake in Reliance Industries. That's a deal valued at $75 billion.
And here in the U.S., we could soon get official word on a merger between CBS and Viacom. Sources tell us the boards of both companies worked late into the night to hash out a price for that deal. CBS and Viacom aim to announce the tie-up today, though the timing could slip to tomorrow. Futures pointing lower ahead of the open on Wall Street. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Flights have been canceled in Hong Kong for the rest of the day. It comes as police are increasingly clashing with demonstrators after the 10th straight weekend of anti-government protests. Bloomberg's Karen Lee is in Hong Kong.
Violent scenes erupted across Hong Kong as authorities used more aggressive tactics on protesters during the movement's 10th weekend. Riot police were videotaped beating demonstrators and deploying tear gas in subway stations, while other officers went undercover to infiltrate crowds and make arrests. The unrest is impacting the economy and daily life in one of the world's most densely crowded cities. Karen Lee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Officials have performed an autopsy on Jeffrey Epstein, who was accused of sexually abusing underage girls. However, the details on how Epstein died in jail have yet to be released. Epstein was found unresponsive in his Manhattan jail cell after an apparent suicide attempt. Epstein's death cut short a criminal prosecution that could have pulled back the curtain on the inner workings of the financier. Bruce Barkett, an attorney for Epstein's former cellmate, tells ABC this was negligence by the correction system.
What the guards do and what they're supposed to do are almost always two different things. So one has to wonder how it is that this man who just tried to take his own life by hanging himself a few weeks ago was in a position to successfully hang himself.
Prosecutors say they will continue to investigate. Pennsylvania authorities say a daycare center where children could stay overnight as their parents worked was ravaged by a fire that killed five and sent the owner to the hospital in Erie. Some residents in Newark are being told to drink bottled water after dangerous levels of lead were found in some neighborhoods. The Environmental Protection Agency says people in homes with old lead pipes should avoid tap water. Newark Mayor Roz Brakara says tests on at least two of the water filters distributed to homes show they did not work.
The results of this test leaves us with many questions, and we must expand our testing to understand what is happening with these two specific filters.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 of Wall Street, it's time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, the Mets won 7 in a row, couldn't get the win streak to 8, and then they won 8 in a row. couldn't make it 9. A fielding miscue on what would have been the final out of the first inning, played in 3 Washington runs. Mets rallied to tie, but the ex-Met, as Drubal Cabrera untied it with a 2-run hit in the 7th inning. Victor Robles later a 2-run homer off the still-struggling Edwin Diaz. The Nationals won 7-4. Still, 2 losses in 17 games. An amazing 2 weeks for Pete Alonso and the Mets.
I mean, hell, we were on an 8-game win streak. It was really special. And to come off that, and we just came off a loss in, I think it was, what, Pittsburgh? And we haven't lost since Pittsburgh, so, I mean, that's pretty damn good.
Right in the mix for a wild card spot. 5 teams separated by 2.5 games. Mets off tonight in Atlanta tomorrow. Yankees back home today. Day-night doubleheader with the Orioles, who actually beat the Astros yesterday, the day after they lost to Houston 23-2. The Yanks have dominated Baltimore this season, and the Yanks just got a split of the 4-game series in Toronto, winning 1-0. Masahiro Tanaka was outstanding. His catcher was Austin Romine.
No, he was just on. I think he used his fastball really well to keep him off his off speed. He threw some good splitters down and got some ground balls. And I think his slider, back foot and back door was on when he's got all his pitches working. I mean, those are the kind of outings that we get from him.
He's facing a team other than the Red Sox. Tanaka is great. 2 starts against Boston. He's allowed 18 runs in 4 innings. American Patrick Reed took the lead late from the Spaniard John Rahm, and Reed won the Northern Trust Golf in Jersey City by 1 shot. Tennis in Canada, Rafael Nadal won in Montreal. 19-year-old Bianca Andreescu took the final when Serena Williams retired 4 games in with back spasms. First native Canadian to win the tournament in Toronto in 50 years. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
Thanks, John. As the NFL and the Players Association negotiate a new contract, a new organization is looking for running backs to sever ties with the Players Association and form their own union. The move from the International Brotherhood of Professional Running Backs comes as the league's 2 best running backs, Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon, hold out from camp in hopes of improving their contracts. You're listening to Bloomberg. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we have futures pointed to a lower open. The Dow futures right now, they're down 146 points. The S&P futures down 16. The NASDAQ futures are 44 points lower. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. S&P futures down 14 points at the moment. Dow futures down 128. NASDAQ futures down 37 points. 10-year Treasury up 16 30 seconds. The yield 1.68%. 2-year 1.59%. West Texas Intermediate down 1.4%, down 74 cents, $53.76 a barrel. COMEX Gold up 0.5%, up $7.10, $15.15.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1190 against the dollar, and the yen at 105.20. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Hong Kong airport authorities have canceled remaining flights today after protesters swarmed the main terminal building for a 4th day. Medical officials have performed an autopsy on financier Jeffrey Epstein, who died in his Manhattan jail cell over the weekend of an apparent suicide. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost to the Nationals. The Red Sox lost. The Orioles won along with the A's and Giants. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 619 on Wall Street. And we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Time now to get you set up for the trading day and the week ahead. Joining us here in New York, Madeline Lim, the Bloomberg News Executive Editor. In Beijing, we're pleased to have Managing Editor Emma O'Brien, and in London, Senior Executive Editor Heather Harris. Emma, let's start with you. The protests in Hong Kong intensify, and what's China's next move?
Yeah, I mean, the stakes really are rising now with these demonstrations. I think any hope China had of them just dissipating is very much all but gone now. And the impact for Hong Kong from its companies to the economy is looking very real and more dire, I would say, by the day. This is Asia's 2nd busiest airport hub after Singapore. All flights into Tuesday morning have been cancelled. This is because protesters are staging a sit-in at the airport. This is for a 4th day that they've been going there. It's obviously obviously taking a real toll on operations there at the airport. At the same time, you've got the flagship carrier Cathay Pacific pretty much in disarray. This is after China banned staff members of the airline who took part in protests and strike action from flying into the mainland, which is this Hong Kong Airlines main market. Cathay shares, they're down to a 10-year low today, coupled with this airport hold as well. And the airport not really saying when they might be able to resume flights as yet.
Madeline, let's switch to you. Market-friendly President Macri in Argentina loses a key vote. And guess what? The markets don't like it.
Not much surprise there, right, John? Macri lost the primary by 15 points, and that was much wider than the polls had indicated or the market had actually expected. And so you're seeing a wave of selling already in the Eurobonds, Argentina's Eurobonds, that you trade in London, and when the peso opens in New York around 9:20 New York time, we're going to see it. People are talking about a 25 or even a 30% drop. The concern here is mainly around the populist policies. The presidential candidate, Alberto Fernandez, hasn't said much about his economic policies so far, but his running mate is Cristina Fernandez, the previous president, and you will remember she had sort of interventionist policies, capital and currency controls, and the big question, the IMF bailout package, will that continue?
Heather, let's head to you in London. Politics make for strange bedfellows. You need proof of that. Just look to Italy.
Right. Now the bedfellows are no longer in bed together, or at least the ones who were are changing up. So Matteo Salvini, the leader of the League Party and deputy premier, we've been wondering for weeks, if not months, when he might pull the plug on that uncomfortable coalition with Five Star. He chose to do that when pretty much all Italians were at the beach last week. He's crept up on them unexpected, and now we're going through the sort of procedural motions in Italy as to when he will be allowed to call a confidence vote against the current Premier Conte.
And Emma, let's switch to you right now. China is saving up some stimulus as the trade war intensifies.
Yeah, it is playing pretty coy when it comes to stimulus, even though, you know, its economy is pretty much under siege right now amid the trade war. And you do have those Hong Kong protests, as we discussed, providing what's shaping up as, I would say, the biggest challenge to Beijing's political authority since Tiananmen. You've got the People's Bank of China now really trying to keep markets calm. They called on Friday night for a, quote, rational view on the current headwinds to what is the world's number two economy. So very key for wider growth. They're not expected to ease policy just yet, even with data today showing credit and new loan growth slowed pretty sharply last month. We'll see how long this lasts. We've got the IMF saying in its annual report that if the US escalates its current threat to add that 10% extra tariff on basically the remainder of its imports from China, that Chinese growth would be trimmed by about 0.8 percentage point, and that would have significant negative spillovers for the rest of the world.
And back to you, Madeline, here in New York. We are data dependent, and we get plenty of data this week.
We do, but we would normally be all about inflation, right? But this week, the focus will be on the consumer with retail sales coming up, and in particular then on the early August indicators from the regional manufacturing surveys from the New York Fed and the Philadelphia Fed. Those are both expected to be weak because amid the general weakness in the global manufacturing. But the question is, how will the threat of additional tariffs from September, will we already be seeing an impact there in these indicators? Then we end the week with the consumer sentiment on Friday from the University of Michigan.
Heather, back to you. The beating heart of the European economy, they deliver economic data this week. What to expect from Germany?
That's right. So Germany is expected to show a small contraction in second quarter GDP of about 0.1%. This shouldn't really come as any surprise given all the business confidence indicators, the profit warnings we've seen since some of the corporate giants like BASF and Daimler. However, if it is a lot more than 0.1%, we may see bond yields going further into negative territory in Germany. And the big debate there right now is what the government really should be doing to bring the economy out of this lull.
And Emma, let's finish up with you. How much is the trade war hurting China? We may get an indication from the data this week.
That's right. After today's weaker credit data, we've got industrial output and retail sales on Wednesday. Economists expecting those measures to come off. Factory output to 6% growth from 6.3% in June. Retail sales to 8.6% from 9.8%. Very decent weakening there.
Okay, in Beijing, managing editor Emma O'Brien, senior executive editor Heather Harris in London there, and thanks to Madeline Lim, our Bloomberg News executive editor right here in New York. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just ahead, a check of the markets this Monday morning. And it looks like we're going to have a lower open, cash open on Wall Street this morning. The Dow futures right now down 131 points. The S&P futures 15 points lower. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures right now, they're down 39 points. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The trade war remains in focus as President Trump pours cold water on talks and Chinese authorities hold back for major stimulus, at least for now. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
Trump added more uncertainty to trade talks, saying September's scheduled negotiations could be scrapped. And in a weekend tweet, the U.S. president claimed China, quote, wants to make a deal so badly because companies are leaving the country to avoid U.S. tariffs. Here in China, ex-central bank officials have called for the government to prepare for a long, drawn-out trade standoff with the U.S. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom, thanks. The trade war has Goldman Sachs raising concerns of a U.S. recession. Goldman says it no longer expects a trade deal before the 2020 election and is lowering its fourth quarter growth forecast by 0.2%.
Argentina's euro bonds are tumbling after President Mauricio Macri lost a key primary vote in a landslide, and that has investors worried Argentina could return to policies that include currency and capital controls, as opposed to Macri's more market-friendly positions.
The Saudi Aramco is reporting first-half results for the first time. The state-owned oil company posting a 12% decline in profit as crude prices fell and costs increased. We get more from Bloomberg's Stuart Wallace.
The earnings numbers are important. They cement the company as the world's most profitable by some measure. But we move on from those pretty quickly because ultimately, you know, this is a company whose production levels are set by OPEC policy and whose royalty and tax levels are set by the government. So it's not your typical big oil.
Saudi Aramco is also continuing its push into Asian oil refining, announcing an agreement to buy a 20% stake in Reliance Industries. That's a deal valued at $75 billion.
And we could get official word soon on a merger between CBS and Viacom. Sources tell us the boards of both companies worked late into the night to hash out a price for the deal. And as protests continue to rattle Hong Kong and halt flights, Hang Seng Index futures have slumped 1%. As for U.S. equity futures, they're headed lower as well. S&P futures down now 21 points. Dow futures down 185. NASDAQ futures down 60 points. The DAX in Germany down 0.2%. The CAC in Paris down 0.4%. 10-year up 16/32. The yield 1.68%. 2-year Treasury 1.59%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil down 1.6%. Down 87 cents, $53.63 a barrel. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it's 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Flights have been canceled in Hong Kong for the rest of the day after authorities deployed more aggressive tactics during the 10th straight weekend of protest with riot police. The government is urging travelers to leave the airport today. It comes as Chinese officials warn protesters are showing signs of terrorism. One protester explained why their tactics have been escalating.
The peaceful protest from the past 10 years is not working anymore.
Bloomberg's Karen Lee has more.
It comes after a weekend where we saw unprecedented levels of violence, protesters throwing petrol bombs at police, police beating protesters in MTR stations, firing tear gas there.
Several people were injured in the protests. New York City's chief medical examiner says an autopsy has been performed on Jeffrey Epstein, but that more information is needed before a cause of death can be determined. The accused child sex trafficker died of an apparent suicide in his Manhattan jail cell. Meanwhile, a legal plan is taking shape that would allow a part of Epstein's estate to be used to compensate his alleged sexual abuse victims. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
While an investigation into the circumstances surrounding Epstein's death continues, operational issues and staffing, the attorney for one of Epstein's victims, Spencer Coovan, says the reaction to the death is mixed.
It's a certain amount of relief, I think, that's involved in seeing someone like this end his life. And that relief really comes from knowing that no other victims, no other girls will be victimized ever again. But again, there's questions that still won't be answered.
And he says he's formulating a plan that would allow part of the estate to be used to compensate Epstein's alleged sexual abuse victims. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Democratic presidential candidates were at the Iowa State Fair yesterday. Many talked about plans for gun legislation. Residents in parts of Newark are being advised to drink bottled water after new tests show dangerous levels of lead in their tap water. The Environmental Protection Agency says lead filters distributed to homes may not be working properly. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, the Mets couldn't get the sweep. Washington up 3-0 early and then snapped a 3-all tie with a Drubal Cabrera two-run hit. Seventh inning, Victor Robles, a two-run homer in the ninth. The Nationals won 7-4 to end the Mets' eight-game winning streak. Even with the loss, it was quite a weekend at Citi Field. That epic ninth inning comeback Friday night, more drama Saturday, a playoff-like atmosphere for manager Mickey Callaway.
Yeah, it really did. There was a lot of matching up, like you said. The starters are out early, which you see a lot in the playoffs. So it did. It felt like that crowd-wise, and then the game kind of developed like that because both starters were out early. You know.
Jacob DeGrom, no decision in five innings. Didn't allow an earned run. Mets are off tonight in Atlanta. Tomorrow, day-night doubleheader at the stadium. Yankees and their good friends, the Orioles, who they are 13-2 against. Yanks just split four in Toronto. They won 1-0. A gem by Masahiro Tanaka. He worked into the ninth inning for Aaron Boone.
You know, today it seemed like more slider to me. That was really, really sharp for him. But I thought the fastball really played for him. And I thought he was strong late. You know, even given the two-strike hit to Drury, you know, it just kind of found a hole. He was able to, for the most part, stay off the barrel all day long.
Aroldis Chapman needed 27 pitches but got the save. The Jets have a new kicker. Chandler Catanzaro missed two extra points in the preseason opener. So before the Jets could cut him, he retired. The Jets have signed Taylor Bertolad, who kicked for Salt Lake City in the Alliance of American Football. They may still look for someone else. Meanwhile, a key Jet defender, cornerback Tremaine Johnson, hurt his hamstring in practice yesterday. He's out indefinitely. Postseason golf in Jersey City, and Patrick Reed got his first win since last year's Masters. He won the Northern Trust. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. Coming up this week, lots of data on the U.S. economy, including readings on retail sales and inflation. Details in this report from Bloomberg's Vinnie Deljudice.
July's retail sales report could be something of a mixed bag. Johnson Redbook reports it was too hot to shop as high temperatures kept people away from stores in many parts of the U.S. Auto industry data, meantime, suggests motor vehicle sales moderated. Turning to inflation, economists see July import prices and consumer prices generally mirroring Friday's tame data on wholesale costs. Among other reports on this week's agenda, industrial production, housing starts, and worker productivity. Vinnie Deljudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. It is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
A disgraced governor resigns after massive protests. His successor is installed without lawmakers' full support. Within days, the office passes to the Justice Secretary, who doesn't want the job. So it goes in Puerto Rico, where government has been paralyzed in recent weeks. Political turmoil has distracted from the island's efforts to recover from bankruptcy, natural disasters, and a decade-plus recession. The federal government should step in and help. For example, it could spur employment by extending the earned income tax credit to the island. It could reduce disparities in Medicaid funding to ensure Puerto Ricans, who are American citizens, have adequate health care. And it could waive the Jones Act, a century-old law that makes commerce with the mainland indefensibly expensive. By staging huge protests, Puerto Ricans have signaled their hunger for change. Ultimately, they will determine the island's future. But in the meantime, They deserve the support from their government in Washington. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. It's now 6:39 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. A courtroom fight over a Trump administration rule that expanded health insurance options for small businesses could also wipe out new retirement plan offerings for small businesses. A recent Labor Department final rule allows more employers to band together to offer 401k plans for their workers, but it also includes a definition of employer that nearly matches the one a federal district court judge had already tossed out. Judge John Bates said on March 28th that the definition in the Association Health Plan rule stretched beyond the bounds of the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, ERISA. Now, attorneys say if the rule for association health plans, which the Congressional Budget Office estimates would expand coverage to 400,000 previously uninsured people, is tossed out by the D.C. Circuit, parts of the rule for association retirement plans could be chopped as well. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. As we look at futures right now, they indicate a lower open on Wall Street this morning. The S&P futures down 22 points. That's a decline of 0.75%. The Dow futures, they're down 192 points. That's down 0.75%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures, 65 points lower. That's down about 0.9%. You're listening to Bloomberg. And just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we head to the nation's capital and take a look at the week ahead in politics. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are deepening losses this morning. Let's head right over to the First Word Breaking News Desk for today's morning call with Felice Morantz. Felice, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Futures are indeed under pressure as unrest in Hong Kong is weighing on investor sentiment. The Dow Jones is down about 200 points, S&P down 23, and NASDAQ off by 65. The U.S. 10-year yield is down about 6 basis points at 1.69%. European markets are down too, led by the FTSE and Spanish stocks. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 11 a.m., the New York Fed releases second quarter household debt and credit report, and the monthly budget statement comes at 2 p.m. Over the weekend, Huawei's founder said he wants an invincible iron army to fight the U.S., and Goldman Sachs raised concerns of a U.S. recession as the trade war with China intensifies, boosting the impact on economic growth. In other news, Argentina's international bonds fell after a populist opposition candidate routed President Macri. Regarding earnings, Barrick Gold is due this morning and Tencent Music is due this afternoon. In deal news, CBS and Viacom were said to work through the night to hammer out a deal. And wrapping things up, News Corp was upgraded to outperform at Credit Suisse, and Roku's price target was raised to a street high of $150 at Needham. Live from the Bloomberg Breaking News Desk, I'm Felice Morantz. Nathan?
All right, Felice, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Hong Kong airport authorities canceled remaining flights today after protesters swarmed the main terminal building for a fourth day. The government is warning travelers to leave the airport as Chinese officials warn protesters are showing signs of terrorism. U.S. immigration officials are now defending the sweeping crackdown on undocumented workers at several food processing plants in Mississippi. The Trump administration has been criticized for punishing workers and not the companies. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost to the Nationals. The Red Sox lost. The Orioles won in a dramatic ninth-inning walk-off home run over the Astros. The A's and Giants won. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where the gun debate remains front and center more than a week after the mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton.
The American people want us to stand up to the NRA. The American people want strong gun control legislation. I have demanded that Mitch McConnell do the right thing, do what the American people want. Bring us back to Washington right now. Let's pass what was passed in the House. Let us go further.
Democratic presidential hopeful Bernie Sanders on CBS's Face the Nation. Fellow candidate Cory Booker was on ABC's This Week.
I have had teachers telling me about what kind of surrender is it in our society where we tell our children basically we can't protect you, so we're going to teach you in school how to duck and cover and shelter in place. More and more Americans are seeing that this is a matter of freedom in this country.
On Fox News Sunday, Democrat Tim Ryan said the president's rhetoric has a role to play.
White supremacists think that Donald Trump is a white supremacist.
But House Republican Whip Steve Scalise, himself a victim of a politically motivated mass shooting, tells Face the Nation,
I know they're running for president and they might not like Donald Trump's views, but stop this ridiculous assessment of blame to somebody other than the person who's responsible.
The Trump administration is also facing criticism over those mass immigration raids in Mississippi days after the El Paso killings. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan tells NBC's Meet the Press,
the timing was unfortunate.
But
these employers are exploiting undocumented workers. Mm-hmm. This is a situation where you have 680 arrests just in this one operation. That means those employers are just ignoring the law entirely in what they do. That's why a judge gave us a warrant to go after them, and this is in the middle of an ongoing criminal investigation, and we do expect to continue forward with toward charges.
And after accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein's apparent jailhouse suicide in Lower Manhattan, Democratic candidate and New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand tells Face the Nation she wants to know why he was taken off suicide watch.
I think it's a strange decision given that he attempted suicide once already. I want to know why he was left in a circumstance where suicide was even possible. I think it needs a full investigation.
That is some of the conversation from the political shows heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio, NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time, Fox News Sunday at noon, ABC's This Week at 1 p.m., and Face the Nation from CBS at 2 o'clock. And for more, we're joined on this Monday morning by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Let's start with the apparent suicide of Jeffrey Epstein in the Lower Manhattan jailhouse, Kate, because it has led quickly to a number of conspiracy theories, including one that was retweeted over the weekend by President Trump.
Yeah, the president essentially lent his endorsement through a retweet to a conspiracy theory along the lines of essentially implying that perhaps the Clintons, Bill Clinton specifically, had something to do with Epstein's death or could have gained potentially from Epstein's death, given that Bill Clinton does have some, you know, ties to Epstein. However, I think it's important to point out, as you guys already have, that Trump himself has ties to Epstein. And so I think from a political standpoint, it's pretty obviously an attempt to kind of deflect attention from his own ties to Epstein.
But there are real questions, though, as to how this could have happened, particularly in a federal lockup, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's what we're going to be looking at now is, you know, we just heard Kirsten Gillibrand talk about this. I think there'll be questions from others. There already are questions from others. And I think there's going to be a real investigation. The attorney general has asked for a closer look at an official investigation into the conduct at that facility in Manhattan. And I think, you know, trying to get to the bottom of some of these questions as to why he wasn't more closely monitored after having attempted suicide, you know, just a few weeks back. So I think that's really one of the areas where the emphasis is going to be placed now going forward.
And there are questions as well over the investigation that led to these raids in Mississippi last week that apparently targeted employees of poultry plants as opposed to the employers who were accused of hiring illegal immigrants in violation of the law.
That's right. And this is significant for a couple reasons. One of them being obviously the close follow on from the shootings at the El Paso Walmart last weekend. I think at the very least, the answer from the administration seems to be that these raids were planned for more than a year. However, that being said, it certainly comes off as a bit tone deaf for the government to be targeting undocumented immigrants, what they constitute as illegal immigrants, so shortly after a shooting in which someone who mirrored the president's rhetoric rhetoric also targeted immigrants as well, from what we've seen and read in the press. So I think that certainly comes off as tone deaf at the very least, and then it also raises some questions, as you point out, about why employers themselves weren't subject to these raids. The answer from the administration seems to be that the administration is also investigating employers, but you know, it was only the employees at the stage that were arrested. And so I think, given particularly that there have been questions about whether or not, going back many years, over whether or not undocumented immigrants have been hired at Trump's properties in Mar-a-Lago and elsewhere, I think there are questions now about whether or not that kind of emphasizes the question over why employers aren't being targeted and just the employees themselves.
And just quickly, the Democratic candidates have had a chance to mount the soapbox at the Iowa State Fair. Does this move the needle for some of the lower polling candidates?
You know, I think that was really their goal. Certainly, this is retail politics at its best. It's been a rite of passage for presidential contenders of both parties going back decades to take, you know, pictures of themselves with the butter cow and other such things at the Iowa State Fair. However, I don't know how much this really, other than providing some good photo ops over the weekend, I don't know that it necessarily will move the needle for anyone, at least not in time, potentially for the September debates, which is the next round. Only 9 of the candidates have qualified for that so far. So I think, you know, we'll have to kind of see in the coming days who else qualifies, but I don't know, the Iowa State Fair is going to really be the deal breaker here.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. Read more of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. People on both the left and the right have proposed moving some federal agencies out of Washington, D.C. The idea is to bring good jobs to places that need them, ease congestion and housing shortages around the nation's capital, and better connect the government to the people. So why is the U.S. Department of Agriculture getting so much blowback over its decision to move 2 small research agencies from Washington to Kansas City? The abrupt, ham-handed nature of the move has been a factor, as was White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney's claim that the real goal is to goad government workers into quitting. Any such move is going to spark protests, though. Getting it right requires lots of prep work and bipartisan buy-in from Congress. Those aren't Trump administration strengths, but maybe some other president can make it work. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Seeing a flight to safety in the markets as we begin a new trading week. S&P futures down 17 points. Dow futures down 160. NASDAQ futures down almost 50 points. The 10-year up 16.30 seconds. The yield 1.68%. 2-year treasury 1.59%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil down 63 cents, $53.88 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance up next with Tom Keene and Lisa Abramowitz in for Jonathan Farrow. For John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.